Hi, how are you? I don't know how well you're listening to political stuff these days. A lot of us are sick of it, so we tend to veer away from it. But there's some important stuff that you should know what's going on in your government. And I'll just very quickly recap something that happened recently, just so you know what's going on. And this is not fake news. This is real stuff. As you probably know, on Friday, this Trump president thing urged the House of Representatives to pass Trump's own health care bill, Trump Care, I guess you would call it. He previously introduced it 10 days earlier. It was a one-sheet piece of paper. Since then, the rest of it came out. Then he wanted all the House representatives to pass it immediately. Most of them, which is a fact, did not even read it or figure out how much it was going to cost for this Trump Care thing to replace Obamacare. Here comes the shocking part. And we knew this was coming. In this bill, which, by the way, the House passed by a small margin, but it passed the House. This is what the House representatives told the public in the country, that they just passed a bill. And here's the deal. If you're on Medicaid is different. If you're on Medicaid, you probably are on the poorer side of things. You're getting help from the government for to live, health care and that kind of stuff. There's going to be, over a 10-year period, there's going to be an $800 billion cut. If you're poor or you're not doing well, your benefits will be cut nationwide over 10 years, $800 billion. That's not good for you. At the same time, in the same bill, it causes rich people, those are people who are making over $250,000, to get a $600 billion tax cut. So if you're rich, you pay 17% less taxes than you have been. If you're poor, you're getting cut $800 billion in aid to you. I'm sorry to laugh, but this is exactly what I knew was going to happen, and many of you knew was going to happen. The rich get richer, and the poorer get poorer. And all of you that voted to have your lives more enriched and have more money in your pocket, if you were the middle class, ain't going to work out. If you're rich, you're going to do very, 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 very well. That's it. There's your update. Bye-bye.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough. Who knew? Who would think that when you click on something, you would hear it? How does that happen? Everybody sing along, come on now.
Sip back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Now, of course, that bill that was passed by the House now goes to the Senate. And most members of the Senate, even the Republican senators, are saying, what are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? What, we want to get reelected here. What are you kidding me? All Trump wanted was to have a victory of some sort. His wall isn't getting built. Not so fast. His travel ban isn't going through. Not so fast. He tried to get a health care bill in like a month ago. That failed. So he needed something. Everything he's trying is a roadblock. He even said, you know, I could do anything I wanted and really make this country wonderful. It's just that the House and Congress gets in the way. Yeah, it's called democracy, schmuck pants. I'm sorry to call you schmuck pants. I should have more. Nah, I shouldn't. Anyway, I just wish he could change his face. I'm just sick of looking at his face and hearing his voice and stuff. It's like everything's a pep rally to him. It's just annoying. It's just I'm used to being surrounded by people of authority who have somewhat more dignity than that. Anyway, let's move on. Hi, how are you? How are you? Are you doing okay? I'm concerned about you. Are you doing okay? You can take care of yourself. I went out to lunch yesterday. Ron, you actually went out in public? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get over my fear of stupid people. It's not working, but I'm trying to get over it. So I went to a restaurant yesterday with a friend. And the only reason to go to a restaurant in the daytime is to have a Bloody Mary. Do you feel that way too? No, it's just me? Okay, maybe I have a problem. Bloody Marys taste horrible all times of the day, except for around 11 o'clock in the morning. Then they taste wonderful. Other than that, I'm not a big Bloody Mary drinker. It's about the only drink where you mix alcohol and horseradish. It's a weird combination when you think about it. The only time you could ever fathom that is 11 o'clock in the morning, where it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't. You don't care. It's 11 o'clock. I'm having a drink. Whatever, you know, whatever's socially acceptable. Yeah, if you put juice in it, if you put like tomato juice and horseradish in it, it's kind of like food. Okay, fine, whatever. Sounds good to me. I'll go with it. So, and by the way, they also put a celery stalk in the glass to make you feel like you're actually eating something. I'll have a drink. Can I eat something out of the drink? Can you put a vegetable in it so I feel like I'm doing something for my body? Sure. We'll put a celery stalk in your drink. That's the one vegetable, by the way, that has no calories and no nutritional value whatsoever. We'll stick one of those in there, sure. Why not? It's the same feeling you get like when you have a martini with a couple of olives in it. Well, I know I'm drinking straight alcohol here, but I got vegetables in it. I've got olives in it. And olives are good for you. They've got olive oil in them, so I'm getting a healthy meal here. So I went to this place that was fairly swanky, because fairly swanky places have Bloody Marys for breakfast. So, and it was 11 o'clock. What do you call that? Brunch? Breakfast and lunch? Blunch? Blunch? What do you call that? Brunch? Anyway. And then lunch and dinner would be Linner. I don't think I've ever had Linner. Technically, I guess the early bird special would be a Linner. I don't really know. I don't know the terminology. I drink the stuff, I shove the food down my mouth, I don't know the terminology thereof. So it's a classy place, and this kid, everybody's a kid to me now, by the way. I've reached an age in my life where everybody's a kid. Everybody's a kid. Even my mother's a kid. Everybody's a kid. I'll never forget. I was like 23 years old. I always looked a little bit older than I actually was until I got older. Now I look younger. So this is good. It's not bad. I was like 23 years old, and I remember walking into a place. I don't remember what it was because my memory is not great. And I remember that the person there, I don't know, it was a restaurant or a convenience store, same thing to me. And the person said, "How can I help you, sir?" And it was the first time I had ever been called sir, ever. And it struck me down like lightning on a tree. I'm a sir now. I'm not a kid. I'm not a pimple-faced little dweeble going through life, bouncing off of walls and having my parents correct my direction. I'm not that anymore. I'm a sir. I've been regarded as something of a higher echelon. I am a sir. And I loved it. I relished it. I went right out and bought a smoking jacket and an ascot. I mean, wow, I'm a sir now. Wow. It's like I've been knighted or something. "You are now knighted as Sir Van Damme. You shall rule the country. We shall give you a steed and a horse and a lance, and you shall go about the country and make good and peace among people. You are a sir. I dub you Sir Van Damme." I'm a sir. Women don't like to be called ma'am. They don't. I've called women ma'ams before by mistake, not knowing that it offended them greatly. "Yes, ma'am." "No, don't call me. Don't call me ma'am." Why? What's wrong?
I don't like it.
All right. I didn't mean it out of disrespect.
Well, don't do it anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. Never do that again, ma'am.
Oh, no, don't do that, I told you.
I like being called sir. So I don't know what your problem is. So I'm in this this place having brunch. And there's eggs on the menu. I mean, not literally. Not like there's little drops of egg on the menu itself. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, there are egg dishes featured as selections in the menu printed on the thing. And I'm looking at the eggs and it's ridiculous. I mean, this is a fairly swanky place. And there was an omelet, an asparagus omelet, which basically is you take a couple of eggs, you beat them up, put them in a pan, throw some asparagus in, fold it over and put it on a plate and you're pretty much home. Not a big deal. With the asparagus omelet. It sounds very swanky, but it's not. An omelet, you throw shit in it and you fold it over and you eat it. I mean, seriously? So this asparagus omelet comes with your choice of toast and some potatoes. They're red potatoes. They're tiny little red potatoes. You throw them in the oven for an hour, you take them out, you season them, and you put them on the plate. I mean, it's no one's going out of their way to do this. You know what I'm saying? The chef is probably saying, "I had breakfast. This is the simplest gig in town." Seriously? $17 for a couple of eggs in a pan with some crap in the middle, folded over, a couple of potatoes, $17. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. $17? You got to be kidding me. No, I'm not having breakfast. Because I'm looking at the lunch and entrees, they're like $12. You know what kind of this is not making sense to me. Before you order in a restaurant, and this is where I'm going with this, by the way, before you order in a restaurant in a swanky place, the server will say to you, "And we have some specials today." And this is where we get into a whole interesting facet of wait service in a restaurant: the specials. It fascinates me. Here's what first impresses me about it. These minimum wage people who are making a little bit more minimum wage because it's a swanky restaurant, they actually took the time to memorize three or four different food items, but to eloquently and specifically describe them so I would want to order them. They memorize this. I can't even remember my name sometimes. I don't even know where I put my keys. These people have memorized, like, that day, these specials. And they say it with, they rattle it off like they've been studying it, like they're the understudy for the musical Annie or something. They're just, wow, how do you do that? The specials today are the mixed vegetable omelet souffle. We take green beans, carrots, asparagus, and we souffle it inside a thing with cream sauce, a wine reduction, a Sauvignon Blanc de Fleur, wine reduction with a carrot flambé, and that is served upon a plate that was picked up somewhere in Kansas. What kind of specific? It comes with a cruller, which has been baked in oven number 72 with about 2 teaspoons of baking soda, three teaspoons of baking powder. Okay. Wow! How can you memorize all of this? But here's the odd part of the whole, and as I'm impressed by their memorization, like, oh my, you're going to get a tip. You're reciting things that have nothing to do with the menu anymore. You're impressive. And you didn't go to college? But when they recite the menu items, they never tell you what the price is. And they rarely do that. Maybe some places will do that, but I think most swanky places consider it to be a faux pas to give you the price. Now, the price of everything on the menu is printed on the menu, but for some reason, when they're telling you the specials, I can't say prices. I can memorize exactly how it's made, exactly what's in the special, but for the life of me, I can't remember the price. $10, $15, I can't remember that. They know what the price is. The reason they don't tell you the price is that you'd be scared out of your pants if you heard it.
Yes, that's the, we have the omelet with the asparagus inside, roasted potatoes, roasted to perfection in our own oven-roasted ovens, with the tiniest bit of rosemary, pepper, sage, and thyme. That is souffled under a flame with gorgonzola cheese and a brandy with a fine applewood aroma. And that is $72.
What?
Yes, it's $72. I shouldn't have told you that. You would have found out when I brought the bill over, but I don't think you're going to order that now, are you?
No, $72. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome. That's what I do. That's what I do. Oh, my God.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast?
How do I do it?
It's simple. No pants.
Oh.
Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
I do this every single weekday. I don't know why. Don't ask me things like that. By the way, this podcast, every weekday, is free to you. To other people, it's $72. But to you, it's free. How can I afford to sit here and do this for free every single weekday of my life so far? Simple. I get paid by other means. You get paid by other people. Not you, though. tell your friends about the program, because that is how I get paid. The more people that listen, the more I get paid. That's the way that works with this podcast network. So please listen continually. We know when you're listening, by the way. I also know whether you're wearing pants or not. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just telling you I know. I know your shoe size, everything. I know your neck size. And believe me, what is your neck getting bigger? How does that happen? Do you like bow tie? Do you like bow tie pasta? Not Botox, bow tie. Botox pasta. Bow tie pasta. It's pasta that's shaped like a bow tie. Who came up with this? At what juncture did some Italian, apparently it's Italian, at what point did they say, I want to make pasta in the shape of a bow tie? Wow, that could take off. Anyway, you can find us on the Podbean Network. You can also find us on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and so many other places. And some radio stations actually are bold enough to run this thing. I don't understand why, but they do. The music that you're listening to in our opening theme was created and performed by Jason Shaw. Thank you very much, Jason. Also, a shout out to John Shanahan, who does our announcing here and some of the comedy commercials and such. And Nicolette, she's the British babe at the beginning of the program. I don't know her that well, but I'm supposed to mention her name. Go to Facebook and enjoy New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. It serves you no purpose whatsoever, but I paid money for it, and I would appreciate it if you went there every once in a while just to make me feel good about something. If only to feel good about something, that would be nice. Hey, do you know what's coming up rather soon? It's Mother's Day. Seriously? Yes, you knew that, didn't you? That's when you honor your corner and your partner and your mother. Mother's Day is very special, very dear. There's something about a mother. We all have one, whether we know her name or not. there are many different circumstances as people are brought into this world. A lot of different circumstances. But the mother is revered. The father, not so much. Father never got that billing really very well. Father is a father figure. We're a father figure. The mother, though, there's warmth. There are bosoms involved. There's actually a nipple sucking going on when you're very, very young. The mother is a dispensary. The mother is quite the thing. The father, you see him every once in a while. He shows up. He's in the pictures. He's in all the photographs. But that's about really, you know, the mother. There's something about. There's a connection. It's the preferred one. It's the preferred one. So Mother's Day is coming, and damn it, you better do something about it, man. It's one of those holidays where if you don't recognize your mother or a mother or some kind of mother, you actually are sent away to a prison facility. Did you know that? Oh, yes. It's serious. It's a serious offense. Don't ever forget Mother's Day. So in the days to come, obviously, we'll be doing some Mother's Day interviews about gifts that you should buy your mother. Certainly you get her a card. And I've said this so many times, before you buy a green card for anybody, flip it over, because the price is on the card. It doesn't come off. If you try to cover it, it's too obvious. And you can't cross it out with a magic marker or a pen, because that's like cheap as well. So just make sure that it's over $5. Any green card that's under $5 is like, oh my God, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. So you got to get a green card, maybe some flowers. And, you know, it's springtime, so flowers kind of, it just all works out. It just all works out somehow. But honor your mother in your corner, and it's a very important holiday. And I'm just telling you ahead of time, because you got to plan for these things. You got to know what you're doing, man. You want to make it through this life, you got to know what you're doing. Okay, we're going to speak to our guest right now. Let's say hello to her. Deborah Hirschman joins us. She's president and CEO, National Safety Council. She's featured on Newswatch, Fox News Edge, and other networks and programs. And we're talking about just how safe our state might be as far as car crash data is concerned. Are we getting better or worse with car crashes over the years?
Unfortunately, in 2016, it was one of the worst years on record. We topped 40,000 fatalities last year. This is a 14% increase in the last 2 years. So what this means is every 8 seconds, someone is seriously injured in a car crash, and someone is killed every 15 minutes.
Wow. My supposition, and I'm no expert, would be it's cell phones and texting. Am I onto something, or is it different things?
You know, you are very consistent with what we hear over the last few years.
Yeah.
A lot of people have questioned the role of texting, electronic device use, and its role in this uptick in crashes. That is one of the reasons why we're releasing this report with these recommendations, because we want to see better collection of data. Right now, we've got 46 states that ban texting, but only about half of those actually record whether or not texting was a factor in
really?
The crash.
Oh my God.
So the good news is Massachusetts is actually doing pretty well when it comes to coding for distraction. But the bad news is for Massachusetts that your fatalities are up 13% since last year.
Really? And I would also presuppose that cars are so much more safely built, but I guess there's nothing that's that safe that can prevent a car crash to that extent.
Well, one of the interesting things, and we touch upon it in our report as well, is that cars are becoming ever more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And so while we all hear about automated cars and cars that may have autopilot features, most cars that are being sold today actually have some advanced technology features like adaptive cruise control or automatic emergency braking, blind spot monitor, lane departure warning, but we don't have any fields on crash reports in any state to actually record these advanced technologies. And so it's going to be really important as cars become more technical that we have to know whether those technologies worked, whether they failed, or if they prevented the crash altogether. That will be very helpful to understand.
Wow. But there are police reports issued with every reported crash, and insurance companies know the makes and models of the vehicles, so it's a question of putting the information together or what?
Yeah, so actually that's a great question. It's really a multifaceted issue because law enforcement has a lot on their plate, and so looking at the information that they have to record, we really want people to go beyond thinking of this as an insurance report and really think about it as an investigation of understanding not just what happened, but why it happened. And so right now what we're recording is really the what. You know, what roadway were they on? What kind of vehicle is it? But we're not necessarily looking at why. Was the driver distracted? Were they fatigued? Drug use. This is an important factor as we're starting to see many states decriminalizing marijuana. Many states don't even have a field that says whether or not there was a positive drug test. And so we don't have great data on what's causing crashes. We won't make good decisions about how to prevent crashes unless we know what the root causes are.
I've been very vocal on this marijuana thing because it gives people the idea that you can drive now with it. And I know that when I was younger and I smoked it, it took me like a year to move my foot. You know, the reaction time is not great on marijuana, and I'm very fearful of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and so, for example, in Massachusetts, they actually don't identify the specific drug if there's a positive mm-hmm. drug test. And so without having access to that information, we don't even understand yeah. what the scope of the problem is.
Yeah.
We know a lot of states don't require drug tests. They may test for alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But years ago, there was some work done. 50% of the tests where they did test for drugs and alcohol came up positive for drugs. And so we know that drugs, prescription, over-the-counter, as well as legal or illegal drugs,
yeah.
are a factor. We're just not collecting that data the way we traditionally do, say, with yeah. alcohol.
Yeah. I assume that there are more cars on the road than ever before?
So that's definitely a factor here. We've got the economy's improving, and we know when we see the economy improve, we're going to see uptick in fatalities because there's more cars on the road. But that doesn't completely explain what's right. going on here, because the vehicle miles traveled increased by about 3.5% last year, but the fatalities increased by 6%. And so, yes, increased exposure, more volume is part of the story, but it's not the whole story.
Yeah. So how do we as the public demand more collection of data, and how do we make our roads safer?
So I would say, you know, some of this is just really having an understanding that we won't make great decisions unless we have good data.
Right.
And so as these new and emerging issues are coming along, we just talked about marijuana, but we know fatigue is a really important factor. A large percentage of our population doesn't get the sleep that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding how fatigue plays a role. And also this advanced technology issue. I think there's a lot of information
yes.
that can be collected that can help be an early warning sign if there are problems that we need to address,
yeah.
but also to help us prioritize our investments, whether it's in our infrastructure, in technology, or improved design. This data is going to help us use the scarce dollars that we have in a more efficient way.
Yeah. You know who really goes crazy, and I remember this time in my life because I have two kids, when they got their first cars and the first few months that they were driving by themselves, I was like, I could have died. I was like, I would sit by the window waiting. When the phone rang, I would wonder, oh my God. And it's because of that insecurity about the safety of the roads, especially at that age. Are teenagers and first-time drivers still very volatile?
They are definitely a vulnerable section of our population. You are absolutely right to be worried about your kids
mm-hmm.
because that is the number one cause of death for mm-hmm. our young people.
Mm-hmm.
And so teens are at risk for sure because of their inexperience
yeah.
Behind the wheel. But also what we've seen is these fatality numbers have gone up. They've been disproportionately affected. So we've seen about a 10% increase
wow.
in teen driver deaths. And yeah. so this is a cohort that already had high exposure. We're seeing them being hit even harder
yeah.
as these numbers go up. And so
yeah.
it's really important that we look at all of the factors associated with crashes,
mm-hmm.
but we do want to know more about those teens and those teen crashes,
absolutely.
Again, so we can put the right interventions in place, whether it's passenger restrictions or cell phone restrictions or
yeah.
nighttime driving restrictions. Understanding when the crash occurs and why it occurs
yeah.
is really important.
Yeah. And the scariest thing is you can be doing everything right yourself. You can be the most perfect driver with the most perfect record. But if something happens on somebody else's side of the road and it affects you, it's still just as bad. That's the scary part. You can do everything you can to be a safe driver, and yet you can still be involved in something horrible if you're not careful. Well, if you're not careful, it has nothing to do with it. It's just you can be a victim. That's the problem.
That you're exactly right, and that's why we want to understand these drowsy driving, drug
yeah,
driving,
yeah.
and distracted driving crashes
yeah.
so we can put the right interventions in place. It's not
okay.
just the individuals who are actually impaired
mm-hmm.
that are involved in the crash. It's other people who
correct.
Are, like you said, doing everything right.
Right. Again, where do we go for more info?
If you want more info, you can visit nsc.org. /crash report, and you can find out information about the report as well as how to keep yourself safe.
Deborah, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, and you have a safe day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So this is Crazy by the Cars. I thought this was like close to whatever we were talking about. Counting down the days to the final performance of Ringling Brothers Circus. I think it's May 22nd, May 23rd, something like that. The final performance will be streamed live on Facebook. I don't know why, but it will. And of course, after the circus is over and there's no more circus, what they're going to do is release all the lions and tigers and elephants into your neighborhood. They'll just be running wild. So yes, it's called free range circus animals. So when you wake up one morning after May 22nd or 23rd, whatever, don't be surprised to see an elephant taking a crap in your backyard, which could be adorable and at the same time a real bitch to clean up. Yes, you're going to have thousands of unemployed clowns roaming the earth. That scares me more than the circus animals. I think that it means also there'll be no more cotton candy. I think that'll just end cotton candy. There's really no other place you would have the damn stuff other than sitting in a circus tent. Why else would you have cotton candy? What's the point of it? Cotton candy is like celery. There's no point. Why would you even eat cotton candy? If you know sugar is bad for you, why would you have air-whipped sugar with various food dyes in your mouth? And by the way, cotton candy is not for everybody. I can't eat it. I can't eat it. And it's not because of the sugar. It's because I have a beard and a mustache. And that would just be pure hell for me. I can't eat it. Nobody should be eating that stuff. That should be outlawed. Forget guns. Forget the NRA. National Rifle Association, for those of you that don't follow letters. There should be a National Cotton Candy Administration, an NCCA, and it should be banned. It's an awful, it's not even a food. It's a disturbance. It's a disturbance. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with more program. By the way, if you eat cotton candy, please eat it with vegetables on the side. Cotton candy and green beans, because otherwise, that's just a wasted meal. I mean, you got to think nutritionally when it comes to the cotton candy thing. important. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Well, you survived another one. Congratulations to you.